Thank you, microdose.com. That's all I have to say right now. I have been traveling so much, planes, cars, like long, long drives. My body hurts, you know, sleeping in different beds, in different hotels, you know, everything's kind of screwy. And thank you, microdose.com. I know you've heard the word microdose before, but this is microdosing THC. And microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And you deserve to feel good. You can go to their website, microdose.com, and learn all about microdosing THC. But I'm telling you, it is amazing. They have all different strains that help with all different issues. A friend of mine just sent me a photo of her with her order from microdose.com saying thank you. I'm telling you, a lot of people do this, all sorts of people. And they do it to feel healthier. They do it to perform better. They do it to focus. They do it to sleep. They do it for pain. They do it for relaxation. It really helps your mind and body be at peace. So really check it out. Microdose.com is amazing. And the product, they taste delicious, number one. But the product is so damn good. And you deserve to feel better. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to microdose.com. If you don't already know, you're going to learn about microdosing THC. And when you get there, you're going to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code Judy Gold. It is available nationwide. That is microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, for 30% off and free shipping. That is a lot, 30% off. And the stuff is amazing. I'm telling you, microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. You're welcome.
Regen auf mein Kopf. Hink wie ein Deckel, muss es die kleine Farbe im Top. Geht mir kein Sach mit, die Tropfen Regen.
Welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I am your host, Judy Gold, and this week we are re-airing Joy Behar, one of my favorite people in this business, someone who I wanted to re-air this because, you know, with my show going on, yes, I can say that when they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble, which is at 59E 59. That's right. It's at 59E 59th Street Theater. Joy is someone who has spoken truth to power, called out our officials. She has been fearless. She has been a friend to the LGBTQ community. She's hilarious. And so I thought, it's Women's History Month. My show is running. I think we need to hear Joy. She's amazing. So that's this week. I hope you're enjoying these re-airs. We have new episodes coming up soon, but I am almost done with tech rehearsals, and the show's amazing. People are loving it. I'm really proud of it. I think if you are in the New York area, you need to come see it. It is a call for action. It's just something I'm so proud of. And BD Wong is such an amazing director. Like, I can't even tell you how much I have learned from him, how he has brought this thing to life and just made it better than I could have even imagined. It's just been such an incredible process. So I love you, BD Wong. We're doing some talkbacks too, so you should check that out. We're going to have some shows where afterwards we do a talkback with BD, one, and there's going to be one with Sandra Bernhard, my lover. I love her. She's the best. And with Mary Trump, my friend Mary Trump. So check those out, but really come see the show. People are telling me how important it is and thanking me, and that just feels like $1 million. So I've never been more tired in my entire life. I mean, probably more tired with the kids when they were first born. But I was young. I'm 60. And I had to memorize 56 pages. It's a lot. It's a lot. And my body with the, you know, you don't realize how much energy you expend on those, on the stage. And I'm sweaty. So I'm loving it. I'm loving telling the story. So get your fucking asses to 59E59. Also, it's at 59 East 59th Street, you fucking idiots. Theater A. What else did I want to say? I do not understand. Elisa is a therapist by trade, my lover. But she was an economics major at Tufts. So she's explaining this whole bank collapse thing, which is so fucking ridiculous. And the fact that they're blaming it on Biden when it's fucking Trump's policies that call, I can't take this. And fucking Lauren Boebert and her fucking 17-year-old son is going to have a kid. She's 36. Like, this is not this, these, and she's in, it's fucking infuriating. Like, that's a good role model. 17, being a parent at 17. That's fucking shit. Okay, so that's that. I just want Trump indicted. I can't with the, it's going to happen. It's like, please. It's like trying to have an orgasm on a antidepressant. It just keeps, nothing happens. Even though I actually don't have that issue. So anyway, TMI. I don't know what else I have to tell you. Ron DeSantis is scary. Mike Pence is a fucking piece of shit. These people are disgusting. And the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene had that gavel in her hand, fucking Kevin McCarthy. What a piece of garbage. I can't take it. I can't stand these people. All right, I just had to get that out because I've been just trying to read the news and not watch it. I can't miss Rachel. And I love Stephanie Ruhle. So, but it's just so fucking infuriating. And then at some point, we're going to have to talk about how people in their very early 20s have no sense of humor. Okay, that's going to be a big topic coming up soon because I can't take that either. Anyway, so I think you're going to love this episode. Sit back, relax, enjoy my interview with Joy Behar. And I'm not ringing the bell because she's not Jewish.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Joy Behar is here. Woo!
My voice gives me away. One time I was at Lohmann's and, you know, they had those open dressing
rooms. Yes, I love those, yeah.
And there I am, and I don't want anybody to talk to me, but I was on the radio at the time, so I figured nobody'd
right.
know me.
WABC.
And then my brassiere and panties, right. And some yenta comes over to me. Joy Behar, because she heard me say, how does this look? It's like I can't escape.
But Joy, you have such a distinctive voice.
I know, but it's like, I always say it's like having Jimmy Hoffa in the back of my throat. It's like, it's not. It's
you know
not
what it is? What? It's similar to Ray Romano's.
Well,
voice.
It's an Italian
yes,
thing.
Yes, I was
I know.
Just going to say that.
Also, you know who else sounds like this? Not for nothing. Claudia Cardinale, the great Italian actress.
Really?
Yes.
So it's an Italian thing. And the Jews through the nose, you know, nasal. We're all nasal.
Not everybody's nasal in the entire Jewish community in the world.
Okay, well, not every Italian has a fucking Jimmy Hoffa in
their throat.
Yes,
they do.
Okay. So, just full disclosure, I have been doing stand-up since 1982 in college, and then I came to New York, and I used to watch Joy Behar, only by marriage. Well, ex-marriage. But you're a Jew.
Two Jewish husbands.
Right, two Jewish husbands.
Two Jewish husbands. Yes.
Okay. I used to watch Joy in awe. Of the fearlessness, you were fucking fearless.
That, it looked like that. I was not.
Were you scared before
I
you
had
went on?
The runs.
Really?
A little vomiting on
but
the side.
But then you get on stage and be like, ah, fuck you. Yeah, yeah. And used to be, I'm divorced. Shocking. I mean, I know your entire fucking act. I loved it. And I used to hang out with your daughter, Eve.
Yes.
Because she was in high school.
Yes.
And I had just graduated college and we used to hang out in the back.
It's funny you started in 1982 because I started in 1982.
Right. But I was
old enough to be your mother at that point. Yeah.
But I was just in, like, I did a few shows in college and stuff. But yeah. Okay. So, Joy, we're going to start from the very beginning.
Really?
Yeah. You grew up in Williamsburg.
Yes.
Which we have to give it bell to. Josephine Victoria Occhiuto?
Occhiuto. The
Occhiuto.
CH followed by an I is a K, like K.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You'll learn that she also taught English. Anyway, only child,
only
just
child.
Like Eve, half. And Mom Rose was a seamstress.
Yes. Also worked for Jews.
She worked for Jews.
Yeah.
Gino was a truck driver for Coca-Cola.
That's right. Nothing Jewish there.
Okay.
All right.
It was kosher. And then, but I know from knowing you that you grew up in a time, you had this big Italian family. And I remember one of your jokes that always stuck with me was in the summertime, all the Jewish kids went to camp and we went to Stoop.
No, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And I always used to
my family didn't believe in camp. They believed in Stoop.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I...
They said that the kids who went to the camp were the kids whose mothers didn't love them.
Okay. Jews are very into camps, not those kind of camps. But, you know, we're like, even like on the holidays, they go to a big hotel and everyone eats together.
Yeah, that's true. I like that about the Jews.
Yeah. I grew up next to the Antonelli's and DeSavino's.
And where was that? In Jersey?
In Jersey. We loved them. I loved, you know, Grace Antonelli. She was the nicest, except their dog, Apollo, bit my mother.
Why are you ringing the bell? Antonelli's not Jewish.
That's right. Well, the dog bit my mother. That's why.
Oh, I see. So is the dog Jewish in this case?
No, but the dog hated Jews, was a Nazi. And so I remember one time I used to go over there all the time. And one time it was Passover.
And God, this could be an extremely annoying feature of this podcast.
Yeah, it is. But then you get like, you're like, oh, you forgot. You know, it comes. All right. So anyway.
I mean, unless a bunch of hussies are listening, I'm not sure.
All right. So people bring them to my shows.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so I remember one time it was Passover and she was like, are you hungry? You want a hot dog? I was like, sure. And then I went home for dinner.
Who are you talking about?
Grace Antonelli, my neighbor.
Oh, Grace Antonelli.
I went over. Rosemary was my
friend. That was hours ago that we mentioned her.
And so then she gave me a hot dog. I went home for dinner. I was like, I'm not hungry, which was never the case. And she's like, my mother's like, why? And I said, because I had a hot dog over at the Antonelli's.
Was it a kosher hot dog?
No!
Oh.
And she went fucking, oh my God, I try so hard. Mental. Okay.
She didn't have Hebrew National at the Antonelli's.
Oh, no.
They just had like
everything bacon. They had a one. Did you have this? It was like a pan, an iron
a bacon?
Pan
no.
That always had grease in it.
No,
like
no,
it was
no.
just ready to go with the bacon.
No. We had, and my family was raised on pasta fazool.
Right.
So, you know, we'd have a lot of money. So my mother was a cook. They all knew how to cook from scratch.
Wow.
And everything was fresh vegetables where you got on the corner and all fresh stuff.
And you ate like that?
Yeah, that's how I ate. I never had preservatives in it in my food.
So that's why you're going to live forever. Ever.
Well, hopefully.
But you had these Sunday my neighbors had Sunday
dinner.
Oh,
yeah. The Sunday dinner. Well, that's why they're fat, too, because the family's not slim.
Right.
The food was not processed, but it was fattening.
Right.
So, you know, so they had the Sunday dinner with the, you know, the brajol and the meat sauce and, you know, the whole, and then lasagna, everything. I mean, fattening
food.
And did
you have cousins? You were an only child.
Yes. Well, I was an only child in the family until I was seven, and then my cousin Valerie was born.
Right.
She was named Valerie. My grandmother was, my grandma's name is Antonia. And it was like, why'd they name naming her Valerie. My Aunt Joan, her mother said, well, I saw it on a soap opera.
Oh, my
name.
God.
She hated that. Then how come they're naming her Valerie?
What does Valerie do?
Valerie had a job at Hershey. They live in Pennsylvania.
Oh, very nice.
She's seven years younger than me.
Wow. And that's it?
Up until then, I was the queen of the goddamn family.
Right.
And then Valerie
did
came
you fucking
along.
Hate Valerie when she was born?
No, it's funny. At 7 years old, you kind of like, oh, I have a baby.
Right.
Yeah. I liked
and
it.
And is that it for that generation?
No. Oh, no. Hundreds followed.
Really?
Hundreds followed. Then there was Annette. Then there was Then there was Vincent and Anthony.
Right.
And then there was another Vincent and another Anthony.
Right.
They haven't had a new name in the Italian family since the Renaissance.
Except for Valerie.
Valerie. That's why she stuck out.
Right. So you used to perform, right?
I used to perform. I was like the TV set.
Right.
They'd say, come on. I'd be like 4 years old. Sing another song. Tell us some jokes. I'd be 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. Come on, one more. And I had to learn every Shirley Temple routine.
But did they have people come over and be like, Joy's going to do it? Like, did they sit around and Joy time?
Yeah. My cousins, not my cousins, but my aunts and uncles and the rest of them. It's like, get a life. Get a life. And they just made me a performer, which I kind of like grew out of it as I got older.
Right.
And then I shut down on it. It was right. like, who am I doing this for? Right. Am I doing this for me or for them?
Right.
But then I needed the money. And when I was 39 right. years old, there I am alone in the world. I right. have no husband. I have no job. Right. I have no career. So I said, let me tap into this little right. talent I have that
wow,
they
that's
developed.
So interesting.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you went to public school. Then you went to...
I never went to a Catholic school.
Never.
Ask me why.
Why?
My mother said she didn't want to go. That sums up my childhood. I didn't want to go to Catholic school. I didn't want to do certain things. I never was told what to do.
Wow.
Never told me to shut up. Never told me where to go to school. Nothing.
Do you think that was bad?
I don't know. You have before you the product of this kind
right,
of
but you're
ultra
good.
Permissive
but you
behavior.
Do tell, but you're not an asshole.
I'm not an asshole, but I had no boundaries whatsoever.
Right.
I had to create my own boundaries.
Do you think you did that with Eve? Created boundaries?
My daughter claims that I was not strict enough, that I didn't insist she do her homework at a certain hour.
Right.
She's like Frau Brucher with that kid. God forbid he looks at the iPad, she right. has a fit. You know, and he and I are in cahoots about it, though. Come
right.
on, I'll give you half an hour. I'm
right,
like,
right,
you know,
right.
Grandma.
I'm horrible with the kids. All right, so were you popular in high school? Like, were you?
I was in school.
Yeah.
I was popular, but I was also not popular with a certain group.
Right.
It's almost like the way my life is now, where
right.
the Trump haters hate me.
Right, right,
the
right.
Trump lovers hate me, rather.
Right.
And the Trump haters love me.
Right.
So it was like that. I had a group that loved me, and then these other girls would come from other neighborhoods
right.
wearing a clothing that was like weaponry.
Right.
You know, and they'd wear like garrison belts and
right,
leather
right, right.
jackets, and they'd have gangs, and they'd come into my neighborhood, try to find me, and try to beat the shit out of me. Why? One shrink said it was because I wore Bermuda shorts. And they were horrified and stupefied
right.
by my Bermuda shorts. And so they came in and started arguments and fights with me. They'd start pushing me like that.
But
and
you defended yourself.
Well, I would start to talk. I'd say, listen, they'd say, you called my girlfriend Thomasina a tramp. I'd say, who the fuck is Thomasina? First of all,
what name is that?
Well, it's like Thomasina.
I know.
And I hate names like that, by
the
way.
I do, too.
Like Robert becomes Roberta.
I know.
It's like a boy's name that they turn
right,
into a girl's
name. Yeah, I know. I hate that shit.
My real name is Josephine,
right?
Which is Josephine.
Right.
I don't like that.
Right.
Judy is not. Judith is like from the Bible.
Yes, I killed someone, actually, in the Bible.
Did you? Who'd you kill?
I forgot.
Ring the bell.
Can you look that up? Oh, yeah.
It was
from the Bible, and I killed someone.
Homicide by Jewish.
Yeah.
It's like crazy.
But did you go home to your mother and be like, oh my God,
no,
these girls.
I never told them anything.
Yeah, same,
no, I would never tell them anything. I tried to tough it out. And I talk them out of it sometimes.
So that you used your wit and
yeah,
humor.
I used my wit. I never actually, one girl was threatening to bite my neck and everything. I was like, what are you, Dracula? And I was like a kind of kid who was pampered. My mother would buy me clothes
right.
at Macy's little shops. And I was treated like a queen, even though
right.
we lived in the tenement.
Right.
For some reason, I never thought we were poor. My aunts all had mink coats and mink stoles.
Right.
But we had to walk up 5 flights of stairs.
Right.
To get to
the
apartments.
Were they immigrants?
My mother was born here. My father was born in Italy. He came when he was a child, and she went back there when she was a child because her mother died in childbirth.
Oh, that's terrible.
Very sad story, yes. Poor girl.
That's terrible.
Yes, and she never mentioned that my grandmother, that I was raised with, was actually not my blood grandmother
wow.
until I was 17. What? Although I didn't even think anything of it
right.
at the time.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
How did they meet then?
They met in Williamsburg, in the neighborhood.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah, because then they all right. settled in that Italian
right.
pocket surrounded by Hasids.
Right. See, I told you you're going to remind me. Okay. Okay. So then you graduate. You go to...
Washington Irving High School.
Right.
Which was in Manhattan. Which
right.
was a saving grace for me because... otherwise, I would have had to go to ED, which was called Eastern District High School,
right.
ED, which they called ED Educated Dumbbells. That was like
really?
The nickname of the school. I didn't know. I
thought it was erectile dysfunction.
Well, it is now.
Now, yeah.
But in those days, it was Educated Dumbbells. And that was my school that I was zoned for.
Right.
And my Aunt Julie said, no, you're going to Washington Irving on the L train. And that's why I went there. And that's where I met... the top lesbians of New
no
York
way.
City. Oh my God!
There were lesbians
first of all, first
that were
of all,
out in high school.
Yes, it was.
What?
In 1960 to
no
60,
way.
I was there 60 to 64. Yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute. they were out in school. Like, yeah. I knew it was the biggest secret. Like, I had a fucking ulcer.
Well, see, these were not every one of them was out.
Right.
I later found out.
Right.
But this was all girls school. See, they were comfortable with saying that they were lesbians.
Right. And no one fucking shunned them? And
no, no, not at all. It was a complete, first of all, a lot of girls in that school were art majors.
Right.
I was in the academic track. I was in all the good classes. And we were not stupid. We knew.
Wow.
We were not homophobic in high school.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Plus there were other things to worry about.
Passing the Regents.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of people in my community, the LGBTQRSTUV, you know, I feel like they're fighting a fight that, and they're fighting us.
Yeah.
You're not calling me this. You're not standing up for this. And when, you know, we were fighting for our lives during the AIDS crisis.
Yes.
And you're fighting because I didn't say they. I know everyone's going to get pissed off.
Oh, what you're saying is very politically incorrect.
Right.
These days.
But I'm just saying, you know, don't attack me. I'm one of the people who fought for you to be able to be who you are.
Yeah.
Don't yell at me for making an honest mistake. You wouldn't be where you are.
Well, they're trying to, I guess, educate you also into the 21st century.
Right. I'm being educated, but I have a new joke about it.
What is
Tell me if you like it.
Tell me.
Okay. So I said, I feel like the next generation is trying to get rid of gender, period. So there'll be no gender. And I was thinking, if there's no gender, how are we going to know who to pay the higher salary to?
It's good.
It's good,
That's
right?
A good joke.
It's a clap joke.
I mean, it's not a joke that you laugh at.
No, it's where they're like, whoa, yes.
Yeah.
But then when I say a hysterical joke about like a morbidly obese person, they're like, whoa, it's so fucking annoying.
Those days are gone, Judy. You can't do morbidly obese jokes anymore.
I do
you
it
can't
anyway.
Do fat jokes.
Tough shit. No, I did. All right. You got a BA in sociology from Queens College.
Yes, and an MA from Stony Brook.
I know, I have that. But were you the first one in the family to go to college?
Yes, I was.
So what was it like? They
came to graduation.
Joy is going to college. Josephine, did they call you Josephine?
No, called me Joy.
Joy is going to college. Did everyone come? Was it like a big Italian
party? No, but my father tore himself away from the racetrack to come.
Wow, that's good.
That was big.
Right.
My aunts always came to open school night, though.
Right.
My mother and my two aunts would show up at open school night to hear the teachers praise me. They felt.
Wait, so it was like instead of your mother and father going.
My mother would come, but my aunts.
Your mother
my
and
mother
your two
and
aunts
two
would
aunts.
Come.
My
that's
father, my father wouldn't come.
Hilarious.
Yeah. And the three of them would come all for pits. And the teachers, Mrs. Beckenstein, would tell them she's doing wonderful work, and they would just glow.
My mother said for pits all the time. Okay, that's so great. So you go to college. Were they all? Did you have a big party and you know like
a graduation party? Yes, yes.
So you go to college. You study sociology
with an English minor,
right? And then do you meet Joe Behar? Which
I met
is,
him at college.
You met him at
Queens College.
Queens College.
Yeah. He was a real serious student of sociology, meaning that you fell asleep when he started speaking.
Right.
That's a serious student.
Wait. So, and he was... Was he older than you?
No, same age.
Same age. And you met in class?
I liked the way he looked. He was very cute.
Right.
Very tall and skinny, type, like my daddy.
Right, that's Jewy, like accountant-y looking, like tall,
No, not
thin.
Jewy, he's Sephardic, but he's blonde, tall and blonde. He looked Polish.
Okay.
I thought he was, this is a funny story, I thought he was Polish because he had blonde hair and looked very Polish, and then I looked at his watch, he had Hebrew numbers on his watch.
Oh, I love him! Okay.
And I said to him, where did you get that watch? He said his dentist gave it to him. I've never heard of a dentist giving a patient a watch.
What is that?
I don't know.
You should have known right there it wasn't going to work out. Okay, so then...
So then I started talking to him a little bit, and he was not responding that much. So then I see him in the hallway, and I hit him on the head with a book, and I ran. Imagine that.
That's hilarious.
I was 17 or 18 years old.
Right.
And then he came back to the classroom, and he said, you know, some crazy girl just hit me on the head with books, and he knew it was me.
Right.
And then we went from there. That's the story. That is... And here is what I learned from that. Don't pursue the guy. Let him pursue you.
Yeah.
Because it didn't work out.
So you introduce...
I had a shrink who used to say, remember, the man has to have the erection, not you. And I take that seriously. Funny. Yeah.
So you bring him home to your Italian family.
Loved him because he was tall. My aunt went bananas. My aunt Rose.
I can't believe you're not attracted to me. If you were a lesbian, you'd be attracted to me because I'm tall.
Okay. I know. But my aunt was like, oh, he's so handsome
right.
and so tall. I mean, you know, the Italian men in my family.
Right.
Were like, my father was considered tall and he was like 5'10".
Right.
And there comes a 6'1" blonde yet.
And they didn't give a shit that he was a Jew?
They liked it. My mother used to say, marry a Jewish guy. They're good to their wives.
Wow. Yeah. So you marry...
he was not a regular Jew. He was a Sephardic Jew. They're
right.
completely different.
They're not... Now they're all going to yell at you for saying the regular Jew. Well, one's Eastern European and one's...
Well, what do you mean a regular? And I don't mean he's a regular.
Right. No, I'm saying...
The Jews that I'm... The ones that I'm familiar with.
Right. So the Sephardics
Ashkenazi.
Are like Spanish.
They're from Spain.
Yeah.
His family
Morocco.
Was from Turkey.
Yeah. And they have different... They eat... They have different laws. Anyway, so...
They have also different food.
Food, right.
They had Spanish food.
So good.
It was delicious.
And they can eat peas and rice on Passover in Ashkenazis. And I was just like, after I heard that, an Ashkenazi can't, I'm like, fuck that. Why does some, because where you were, you can eat peas and rice. I'm fucking eating peas and rice. I'm done.
Well, a lot of those dietary things come from people dying, I would assume. Like pork must be.
Trichinosis
yes, that was.
Yes, trichinosis.
Back
yeah.
in the day.
Right.
And suddenly no
but,
Jew can have
right,
a piece
but
of
you
pork.
Can't have, you can't have bread on Passover. So
yeah, that's
and so there's something about peas and rice you can't have. And I
never
like,
heard of that peas and
yeah,
rice.
Yeah, peas and rice. Ask
that's
my mother,
a new
but
one
she's
on
dead.
Me.
So,
but the rules
mother.
Change. You know,
yes.
like I grew up Italian Catholic. You weren't supposed to. You had to have fish on Friday. They
right.
changed that now. You can have fish on Friday. You can have meat on Friday.
Well, you
care.
Can get a tattoo now if you're a Jew.
Seriously,
I'll get a lot of letters. Yeah, there's an article in the Times. They're like. It's some major rabbi. Wait, blah 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 blah. said that it's okay to. First of all, like, you can't get a tattoo, but you can get, you know, enhanced tits.
Right.
You know.
Right. Facelifts. Botox.
Gastric bypass surgery.
right.
Yeah, but you can't. All right.
Ears penis pierced. Enlargement.
Yeah. The ears pierced. They do that immediately, some
yeah.
of them.
But the tattoo is based on what? That the body goes into that, the grave. How
yeah,
it
yeah,
in.
Whatever.
Well, I thought that was a good rule. It stopped people from putting all those stupid pictures all over themselves.
I can't take it.
I mean, then
no,
you can't take
I have
them
to
off.
Say, like, I see, sometimes I see, like, an attractive woman walk, and she has a short skirt on.
Yeah.
And then the legs, I want to go get a sponge and fucking wipe on. I'm like, there's dirt all over. What is that?
I don't know. I don't know, but why do you have a scar on your knee? Did you get
I had a total knee replacement.
Oh, my God. You were a little young for that, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I was 49 when I had it.
Why so young?
Well, I'm gigantic, and I was, I've arthritis, and I ran the marathon, and now it was affecting my life. But now my other one affects my life, but I had such
a hard time. You got to do that one, too, now?
Yeah, I can't deal with it.
I hear that it's very painful,
horrible,
knee surgery.
Horrible.
Yeah.
And they don't tell you, and you shrink. I've shrunk.
Well, you're going to shrink even more, but
shut
that's all right. You've got height to spare, honey.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so how old were you when you got married? You got married
in 22.
1965.
I had just turned 22, yeah.
And did your parents say you're too young? Well, that wasn't
my
young.
My two aunts who used to come to open school night said, are you sure you want to do this? You're so young. Yeah, you know, they were the same ones who said to me one time, if you don't meet them in college, you'll never meet them.
Right, that was a big thing.
So they
set your MRS in college.
Well, they set me off on that. And then at that time, everybody was getting married in my group, except for one girlfriend, one smart girlfriend who went to law school. The rest of us all got married.
Was the girlfriend Jewish?
No.
Oh. So, but my mother got married at 35 or 32.
Well, my Aunt Rose got married at 35. And her mother, her sister-in-law, her brother's wife said, I thought you'd never do it. You're so old. In those days, 35 was a spinster.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
and my mother was over 40 when she had me, which was ridiculous. Like, no one did that. Okay. So he was a professor, though.
Joe. My husband?
Yeah, he became a professor.
He became a full professor, yes.
And so you end up, do you go right to get your master's right after? You get your master's
no.
in English
I got
education.
Married to him, and then we went on the most depressing honeymoon anyone was
Where?
To the Neverly.
At the Neverly.
And also.
Remember that commercial?
Yes.
At the Neverly.
I've worked the Neverly many times in the Fool's View
really?
Since then. Yeah.
Oh,
that's
hilarious.
And so, we had I thought it was a depressing honeymoon. And then the guy gets
Did you have premarital sex?
Technical.
Right.
Technical.
But did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed the technical.
All right.
And I enjoyed all the feeling up and the pre intercourse. As soon as it became like a man on top of me, I didn't love it as much.
Right.
But now I do. It took me many years.
So, ladies, if you're out there listening, okay. And
the feeling up. What did you call that part?
Feeling up.
No, like the
petting.
Petting.
Yeah.
That's petting. The word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Petting is the greatest thing in the world.
Right.
I love petting. I could pet. In fact, that's why I have dogs, so I can pet them. No, seriously, petting is better than actual sex. I don't care what anybody tells you.
So you marry Joe, you get your master's, and you move to Long Island. Did you move to Long Island?
Lindenhurst. Listen to me.
Sorry.
First, he got his degree.
Right.
And we moved to, I'm sorry, you're right.
I knew it.
After we got married,
right.
We did one. I got a job as a, I worked at the unemployment office
right.
in Brooklyn.
No, you didn't.
I did. I had to interview people for jobs and then train them. It was an interesting job.
It was?
Well, the Navy Yard was going out of business and I had to reschedule assignments for them. And I had to get them training at the Apex Technical School.
Like...
No, they were thrilled to be out of work and getting a free government training,
right?
Which is what they need to do now with people who are out of work. Anyway, so I did that.
So they trained them for other jobs. So the government was taking care of them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting thought.
Yes.
Isn't that you pay taxes and then the government
takes care of people.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wait. I just passed out. Go.
So I had that job, and I enjoyed that job. And then my husband decides that he's going to go get a job. He had a master's. It's from the new school. And he got a job as a professor in Rhode Island, Providence, Rhode Island.
Right.
So I had to go with him there, which I would never do that now. I know women,
like, go fuck yourself.
We don't want to go traveling with you. You live there. I'll live here, and we'll see how it works out. I went there with him. And then after a couple of years of that, we took a teen tour group across the country. It was one of the worst things I've ever done in my life. These little teenagers, I still have it over here for them.
Right.
They'd pick up boys along the road. But one of the girls was having an affair with the bus driver. I mean, it was the worst. One day, my husband came late, and one of the girls was late also. They was getting out of the hotel late. And I said, where's so-and-so? And they go, he's with your husband.
Fuck you.
I know. They were terrible. So we did that. And then we moved to Long Island to get the PhD at Stony Brook for him. And then I was getting my master's. I got pregnant. We had a baby. And then that was it.
Right. So you had a baby, Eve.
Right.
That's a half.
She's a half.
And you're stuck in Stony Brook, Long Island. This Italian girl who was, you know, grew up in Brooklyn and then went to high school in Manhattan is stuck in fucking Long Island.
Center Reach.
Right.
Long Island.
What's the exit?
You remember? Exit 60.
Yeah, exit 60.
The worst.
And you became depressed.
Oh, yes. I was okay for a year.
Right.
Right after I gave birth, my side of my face dropped.
Right. Oh, you had the Bell's palsy?
I was nursing a baby, and suddenly my face drops.
Right.
And I go to see this local doctor there, and he goes, well, I don't know what it is. It could be an aneurysm or maybe
a
brain tumor. I really don't know. So I thought I was going to die right in the middle of breastfeeding a baby. It was terrible time.
Horrible.
So then I finally find a smart Jewish doctor, and he tells me, oh, you have Bell's palsy. And he says to me, I said, how did I get that? He said, we can get it from a breeze.
In
a car. So I said, it's a wonder more dogs don't have Bell's palsy.
Right.
They're always got their head out the window getting a breeze. And then I went away after a few weeks. And then I came out of that like blossoming. I was planting and I was doing papier-mâché puppets.
You can get it from stress too.
Well, no, I think I was getting it from the labor-inducing drugs they gave me to give birth.
Oh, okay.
But that year was fabulous for me. Painting, watercolors, papier-mâché, being a mommy.
Was your mother and your aunts coming to visit you?
Yes, they visited, but they were very far away.
Right.
And then after a year, I completely crashed. I took to my bed and I couldn't get out of bed. I was so depressed.
So how long did that? That was a clinical depression.
Then I found a shrink.
So, but what were you able to take care of Eve during that? Because when I had a clinical depression, I had a very difficult time.
I took care of her, but it was it was hard.
Right.
And then I, because I found a therapist.
Right.
I always feel that I had a therapist in college. I had a therapist.
18, I started.
Always with a therapist. And you know, people should know that that's available to you.
Right.
And she charged plenty, but I was on like a credit with her. I said, when I sell my house, I'll pay you back. Right. And that's what I did.
But see, doctors don't do that anymore.
No, it's but there are clinics. Yeah. I went to the Postgraduate Center for Psychoanalysis. They gave me $20 bucks a session.
Yes.
You can find places where they'll help you. And so she
and they do help.
She got me out of it, and I was on the right track. And then I forced him to move back to Queens.
So, and was the marriage going okay?
Yes, it was going okay until then. I mean, it went okay for about 10 more years.
Right.
So it was like in about 16th year, it started going downhill.
So you are stuck there. You have a kid. And in how long did you live there? Exit 60.
In Rhode Island? No. I mean, in Long Island. I think two years.
Okay. Yeah. You come back. You're better.
I'm better.
And
well, now I'm alive. I'm in Forest Hills, which is closer to my mother and father, which all my friends are there. And I'm fine.
And
I had a great place to live, too.
And then you become a receptionist?
I was teaching.
You were teaching in Lindenhurst?
I was teaching. I lived at Exit 60 before I got pregnant, I taught at Lindenhurst High School and Babylon High School as a sub. And then when I moved to Queens, I got a job as a teacher too in Queens.
And that's where the jokes come from, right? With the,
some of the teaching jokes?
Yeah.
I also taught English as a second language.
Yes, I love that.
No, that's politically incorrect. I'm not doing that
joke. Oh my God, it's the funniest joke.
I'm not doing that.
This is what my book is about.
I don't know which joke you're talking about. Oh, that. Oh, you could say that.
Oh, all right. Go ahead.
No, the kids would be. Well, and this was in Rhode Island when I was teaching in Rhode Island, which I taught there too.
Right.
The kids would be Miss Behar. He said F all the time. They'd be snitching on each other.
Right.
Miss Behar. He said F. Finally, one day I said, "Okay, who the fuck said F?"
And what about the one where you were like, "Who and whom?"
Well, that was when I taught high school dropouts down on the Lower East Side.
Right.
And I was teaching basically hyperbole to pimps down there. A lot of them were like pimping, a lot of kids. And they were adults. They were not kids. I was teaching them to pass the GED. And I was teaching who and whom. Well, how does that go?
Said,
I don't remember it. Whom do you wish to murder?
Yeah.
Not who. I'd always make it relevant
it's
to
whom.
Them.
This is like, I think I don't think I've ever
you
laughed
know my
this
act.
Much because I think you're fucking hilarious.
I can't do those jokes anymore. So what's the point?
But you know, they make me happy. So that's all that matters.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV and I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration. That it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
When do you get the job at GMA?
Good morning, America. Well, now I'm teaching several years.
And where's Eve going to school?
Eve is going to school in
that's a half a one.
Long Island, Queens.
Right. Public?
Public school. Oh, she went to all public schools.
She's such
just
a good
like
kid.
Me. Nobody, we don't believe in private schools.
Same.
I think public schools, yeah, where you have a diversity. Right. I don't like all these same brats.
Oh, my God.
Did you see that this Epstein character, this child molester, was teaching at Dalton?
And William Barr's father was the principal.
I know, but he fired him, I think.
Right, but he didn't have a fucking degree.
Not even a degree.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something. Why do they charge so much to go to a school like
and
Dalton
they can hire people
when the teachers
who don't,
are less educated than me?
Right.
Thank you.
Don't even.
All right.
Okay.
So what else? Where were we?
I hate that motherfucker.
Oh, of course.
And it's just so bad for the Jews.
Well, wait, you know, I mean, everybody.
We got Michael Cohen.
Yeah.
We have Stephen Miller.
Yeah.
We have Jared Kushner. We have.
Yeah, but there's Donald Trump. He's not Jewish.
No, he's a Nazi.
He's involved, I mean, with them, but
yeah.
he likes them. You can't put this on the Jews. Stop it.
No, I'm just saying we're getting bad press. Okay, so you think Stephen Miller doesn't write those fucking horrible speeches.
He does. He's a horror.
And his parents, they're shunned and they can't stand him.
I can't stand him.
He's from a liberal, he's from Santa Monica.
I know, but power corrupts and absolute
his uncle,
power corrupts.
Holocaust
absolutely.
Survivor child wrote that op-ed about, all right. Okay, so how do you get your job at GMA? Good Morning America.
Well, Joe Behar's cousin, also Jewish, Henry, was the lighting director at GMA.
Okay.
And I had decided I wanted to be in show business.
Okay.
So this, the only job that was available there was the receptionist.
Okay.
So that's how I got the job. But I was a terrible receptionist,
so
as you know.
Like,
I'll tell you one story, which is a story about, I would answer the phones, Good Morning America, Good Morning America, Good Morning America. And I'd get calls. Where is Joan? Why is Joan London? Well, how do I know? I'd say, I don't know what she's doing. She's lactating. Which she was. She always had kids. She was breastfeeding somewhere in the building. And then one time they called me up and they said, and this is a true story, was that Albert Speer on the show today? He wasn't Jewish. Albert Speer's a Nazi.
Oh.
Take that away.
Wait. Undoing. Okay.
So they'd call me up and say, is that Albert Speer on the show today? And I'd say, yes. I'd say, Albert Speer the Nazi? I say, yes, he was on the show. He was.
Yeah.
He wrote a book. He said, how dare you have a Nazi on morning television? I said, look, I don't book the show. Okay. And anyway, it's hard to get Nazis on this show. I said to the guy, you have to fly them in from Argentina. And it's an expensive proposition. They all want to be driven around a Mercedes or a BMW. And I hang up the phone. I got fired from that job. I don't know why, though. Look how good I was at this.
Oh, my God. And did you feel great? Like you had just done a bit? Like,
well, no. I had just done a bit?
Well, no. I'm just
that
saying,
wasn't a bit. I meant it.
No, I know. But it's so fucking. But did you know that it was fucking hilarious?
No, but you know how this is. One thing about Good Morning America that I will give to you as a comedy story is that, you know, I was surrounded by people at a desk and I used to answer all their phones. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we would have lesbian hour at my desk. Seriously, we called it lesbian hour.
Right.
The only guy who was allowed was the George Merlis, who was the EP, and he was a great guy.
Right.
Otherwise, it had to be females. They were all women. There was only one actual lesbian there,
right,
though. Whatever. So that would be where I would hold court a lot, and I'd say funny stuff. And if they laughed after it was over, I'd write it down.
Wow.
And that's how I started to write my act.
Right. And so when did you first and where did you first... First of all, you get divorced in 1981, correct?
I think so, yeah.
And was that awful or you were
awful.
Just fucking...
The worst. I guarantee you anybody is thinking about getting a divorce, think
it's
twice.
Hell. It's hell. It's hell.
Well, I have a theory about
that.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
My theory is that, particularly with your first husband and when you marry very young, you don't know what you're doing. So you're still unformed to kind of a fetal
state. Which is
why
same as why people put tattoos on when they're 18 years old.
You don't know what you're doing yet. And what you're really doing is marrying a form of your parent.
Right.
And so when you get divorced from that person, it's almost like being abandoned by your parent.
Right.
That's the reason that it hurts so much.
Right.
It's very, very painful.
That's interesting.
But you have to separate from your parent.
Absolutely.
And so after a while, it works out.
So same with me and Sharon or Schwendi. Yeah. Is that, you know, she was like a mother to me, mother figure
right.
to me.
Exactly.
And then, what prompted the divorce? Cheating?
Could be.
I know what it is, but I guess we're not getting into that.
A man never leaves his wife unless there's another woman there.
Please.
And thank God it would never get rid of them.
Right. But also, it's same with the gays.
Yeah.
Like when people say we're getting divorced, I always say who cheated. And they're
usually a third party.
Right.
Usually.
It's constant. All right.
You could say that we've outgrown each other, or you could say we've grown apart and all these other lies that people say.
But it's someone.
You need a catalyst.
Right.
And the other person is the catalyst.
Do you think sexting with someone is cheating?
I do. Absolutely.
Too. So you get a divorce. Do you get full custody?
Oh, yes. There was no issue with that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, no.
Did you see him a lot?
Yeah, she saw him.
All right. But she liked you better.
Well, it's not that. I mean,
she
saw him as much as she could. He moved away. Well, he moved back to Exit 60.
Oh,
I think he always really enjoyed
wanted to be at Exit
wanted
60.
To be at Exit 60. That's one. You know, one of the other things I could share with people who are listening is make sure that you're on the same page geographically.
Right.
I was raised in a tenement in Brooklyn. He was raised at the beach. So he ended up at the beach and I ended up in a building with a doorman, but it's still a tenement if you think about it.
Right.
And that's how we ended up. If you don't want to live in the same place, you really shouldn't be married to each other.
I agree. By the way, a lot of listeners hate that I say right all the time, but I'm so
How about the bell? They enjoy that?
Yeah, they love the bell. They hate when I say right. So you meet Steve.
Yeah.
Immediately.
it was about a year later.
And you get married. You start dating in 1982.
Yeah.
So a year after, how did you meet him?
I met him at a singles resort called Sukasa, which is this place up in Woodstock, which is an adult only. And there were, you know, was part nude people nude around there.
No way.
Yeah, he was nude. I saw him.
Wait. You're at this resort.
Yeah.
And you see a naked guy.
He was standing at the pool with his friend Neil, bare-assed. And I was with my other friends. And
were you bare-assed?
No, never. You know what I say. For a man to see me naked, I have to be in his will. So, no, I was not naked. He was, but a far away. I was not interested in anybody at this place.
Okay.
It was like one of my friends was like, they're glomming on me. I can't stand it.
Fuck her.
That night, well, the guys were annoying. So that night, there's an activity. And this is the kind of place it was. People are watching A Knife in the Water by Roman Polanski. This is the type of place it was.
Go ahead.
Jew and child molester.
Right.
Not good for the Jews.
No,
sorry.
Epstein. Go.
But the most child molesters are just heterosexual males. They don't have to be any particular group.
But they hate the gays. So go to the
We're watching Roman Knife in the Water. And I see him standing there fully clothed, thank God. And I sort of remember him.
So you didn't see the penis before. You only saw
it was from far away.
Okay.
But, you know, far away, I was impressed anyway. So I stand next to him, again, in my mode of pursuing the man, which is a mistake. But I learned from the first time, don't be pursuing too hard. I just stood there and was watching the thing. He was standing next to me. I thought he was cute. I said, what's going on in this movie? And that started the whole thing. See, but he pursued me like a crazy person.
Really?
Calling me all the time, yes.
Like, did you, do anything while you were at the resort?
I'm not discussing that.
So, you don't live with Steve.
For years.
Elisa and I don't live together.
No,
and
that's smart.
And I think of you. You've given me some amazing advice.
Like what else?
Breastfeed.
Right.
You made me breastfeed.
Yeah, did I? Why? What did I tell you?
You said you're breastfeeding.
Why did I tell you to do that?
you said
it's
you,
good for the baby,
right?
And it's good for you,
right? And you're
and you'll never catch a cold from the baby. Exactly. The kid will catch from you. No, I mean the kid will never catch from you. But
let
you
me
will
tell you that immune system, he never gets sick
from you
ever. Yes, Ben.
Yeah, good for him.
So. Yeah, you were helpful.
So what else did I tell you?
Oh, you've told me a million. You know, you always like
don't live with them.
You've helped me in my career, like just be like, oh, fuck them, fuck them, fuck
right,
them.
Give you advice.
Keep doing what you're doing.
You're funny.
Yeah,
I always told you were funny.
Yes, and you don't tell a lot of people they're funny. Which
no,
is, makes
no.
me very happy. okay,
I laugh easily though at comedy. You know, who do I think is funny? Damarera.
Damarera. I know I fucked it
and
up.
And Mario, too. Two Italian.
They both make me pee in my
They're
pants.
They're both hilarious, not
Kevin
Jewish.
Meany made me laugh.
Meany, not Jewish.
Right.
I'm just saying, because most of the funny people that I remember from a child were Jewish. You know, Toadie Fields.
Oh, I love
Joan Rivers.
Toadie Tales, Joan Rivers.
A woman named Jean Carroll.
I love Jean
hilarious,
Carroll.
Yeah.
I love her.
Robert Klein was my major idol.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The other funny people, I never found George Carlin as funny, but I enjoyed him.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah.
Also, Sophie Tucker, Frances Faye.
I'm not that old. I don't remember these people.
Okay, whatever. My parents were old. So you meet Steve, but you don't live together.
No.
But he lives on...
In the Bronx.
In the Bronx.
In Riverdale.
And you start doing stand-up while...
Oh, when I first met him, I was doing it already.
And he... often came to your shows with you.
No, I did not allow him to come for a long time.
I knew you, he...
For a whole year, I did not tell him I was doing stand-up because I didn't want him to lose his erection. Because when a
but
man...
But if anyone wouldn't lose...
It's Steve. I didn't know that at the time. I mean, I'm saying that literally, but right. I wanted him to think of me as demure right. and shy and unassuming.
That's how most people do think of you, yeah.
Well... When I was with him, I was like that.
Right.
You know.
That's so funny.
All cutesy.
Right.
And then I'd get on stage and I'd be like the biggest ball buster. So I was afraid for him to see that he would turn on me. So then one time I was in the Village and with my girlfriend, with him and my friend Leslie, and this woman came over to me and she said, aren't you, didn't I see you perform? You were very funny the other night somewhere. I said, oh, you must be mistaken. I don't know what you're talking about. And she left. And Leslie said, now you're starting to lie to him.
Oh, yeah.
So then I had to tell him.
What did he say?
Really? I want to come see you.
See, he's the greatest
guy. I know,
guy.
He is. I said,
he's the greatest.
I said, I don't know.
And he's so fucking smart.
And then I took him to one gig where I had to perform. I was getting like $750.
Wow,
my God.
That's good.
Well, this is, previous to that, $50 was the most I could ever make.
Oh, same.
So now I'm making $750 for one night and, performing for doctors. And they're the worst. They were some months. No, these were not even Jewish doctors because there were priests there as well.
Oh, the worst audience. When you go to them, it's the worst.
They are the worst audience unless you're talking about them. So I only had a couple jokes about them. And then I had to stand up there and die like a dog, which I did. And then after I was finished, Steve said to me, you were funny. They were a bad audience.
Right.
I said, I have to keep this guy.
He's the best.
I know. So that's why I don't let him go.
Are you working during the day and
at
doing stand-up
no.
at night?
At this point, I got fired from Good Morning America. They were very nice about it. They said, get out. And I said, listen, I'm a single mother. I have nothing. I have no husband. I just had a near-death experience. I need the job.
What was your near-death?
Oh, I had an ectopic pregnancy where I almost died.
Oh, that's right.
And so they fired me anyway. They fired
so
me anyway.
Nice.
And I went on unemployment insurance, which is one of the great things of this country.
Oh.
And it saved my life, unemployment insurance.
Oh, so that's, an example
of good government.
Right. So you start doing stand-up. Eve is how old?
12. She's 12.
Is she like, mommy, don't do stand-up?
No. She never paid any attention to my career whatsoever. She has zero interest in
it. And did she care that you were out at night or?
Well, you know, I'd have my mother would come over and wait, help her. But I would do stand-up all over as much as I could. I had Ruth Stern booking me.
I was just going to talk about
her. God bless her, because I would never go on the road because I was raising a kid.
Yeah.
And she would get me gigs in every Jewish country club in
every
the Tri-State
country club.
Area.
And this is the Ruth Stern story, everyone. She's a legend. Every time you called her and she would say, I got a gig for you. It's at the, you know, the Braeburn Country Club. And And she, you know, $1,000. And I'm like, oh, well, because that wasn't a lot of money for doing
that.
That
was
those.
A lot for me. Well, I didn't make
so she'd say, I'm just making it up. So she'd say $500 or $200. And I'd be like, $200, you know, that's nothing. And she'd say, well, I called them up. I called Braybrun. I said, Drew DeGold. They said, who? That's who?
So that's what happened.
Yeah, she used to that. And she used to have to drive her. She would eat with the food spitting out of her mouth.
Well, she'd have
me into the Friars Club, though.
Yeah, she was good in certain ways. Yeah. I appreciated her because even though one of the most annoying people.
And her husband.
She'd have a bad meal, like that didn't say so. She'd go, here, Paul, you eat this.
Paul, my God, he didn't say a fucking word.
No. When she died, he fell apart.
Yeah. So you're pretty successful doing
that. Well, I was doing that, and I was making some money.
Yeah,
because
I ended up having to go on the fucking road. I hated it so much.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get, like, a half an hour on stage. But you, Mario, and Susie never really had to go... suffer in these condos.
No, we didn't do it. Yeah. Well, we didn't do it because we appealed to this country club crowd.
Right.
And I could do those gigs. I don't know why you didn't.
Well, I don't know why I didn't do a lot of things because look at me. Okay.
No, I don't understand why you wouldn't appeal to a Jewish audience at these country clubs.
I don't know. I did, but you guys were getting all the gigs and I...
Well, there was plenty of work in those days for that. She didn't like you, I don't think. Ruth.
Really?
She probably didn't. She probably thought you weren't appropriate for her room. That's what that was about.
What did I do that was wrong? I talked about my mother.
I don't know. I have no idea what the reason
is. Fuck you, Ruth.
She's dead. All I'm saying is that if you worked in her room, she booked you. If she thought that you would not work, that was it for you.
Wow.
She gave some jobs to Corey Kahaney, I think. Yeah.
So... I was loud.
This bell is the most annoying. I've never done a podcast more annoying than this.
I'll stop. You're at Catch. Then you get a show on Lifetime called Way Off Broadway.
Yes. It went one season, and it was a great show. Wait a second. Larry David was one of my writers, okay? David, okay, yes. He used to come to my apartment every night, and we'd work out a stand-up set.
OMG. And that was
1987.
And that was was that your big break, your first big break?
Yeah.
And then you get a show live from Queens.
That wasn't my show. Biggers.
Yeah, and you were one of the regulars.
I would come in once in a while. But she never let me talk, Sissy Biggers. She would keep she was like Kellyanne Conway, never a period did she meet.
Right.
And then I went to the shrink and I said, I don't know what to do. She said, interrupt her. I said a light went off.
I need this shrink.
So I interrupted her, and later she thanked me. She said the reason the girl didn't stop talking is because she wasn't sure I would pick it up.
See?
Yeah, so
that's
you learned
what
something.
Happens
yeah.
when you don't communicate.
That's right. She was nice enough to have me on a lot. She's a nice girl.
Right.
And then that was over. And then I did some other show, a couple of other things.
You did, you did a one night stand on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
You did Women of the Night on HBO. You were a regular on NBC's Baby Boom.
Yes, I played a German nanny.
Right.
And no one, but my father, you know what I looked like? I looked just like the shrink I was seeing. I had braids around my head, no makeup, and a white uniform. So my father.
Your shrink didn't wear a uniform.
I was the nanny. So my father goes to his club, the Bugs AC. That was the name of the club, the Bugs AC. He goes to the Bugs AC to watch me because they had a TV he liked. He comes home and he says to my mother, she wasn't in it because he didn't even recognize me. The man didn't even recognize my voice. My father did not recognize my voice.
Are you kidding?
Women at Lomans are recognizing my voice, but not my father.
Ridiculous. Okay, so then do you get the WABC job right after that?
Oh, the radio
show? The talk show.
I got the radio show, I believe, in 90 or 91. I did pilots, a couple of pilots in between. That didn't go anywhere. I got the radio
show. But you were hot. Everyone knew you. Everyone knew you in New York.
Barbara Streisand. Barbara Walters didn't know me.
Right. I wanted to get to the story.
But people in New York knew me from the radio show. You know, I could sell out rooms when I was on a radio show. Easier than when I was on television.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. People just wanted to see what I looked like, I think.
And you were so funny. One time I called and you yelled at me, though.
I did? Why?
Yeah, you're like, what's your point? And I'm like, okay, sorry.
What, did you identify yourself?
Yeah, I said, hi, it's Judy. Hi, Judy. You were in some mood. And I said,
well, I still had my period.
Yeah, and you said, I don't understand your point. Bye.
No, I did not.
You did something. And I was like, crushed.
I can't believe that you were upset.
Oh, my God. I'm so sensitive.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. Oh,
should I tell them a story you did to me?
Oh, this is the worst. But I was so young. Okay.
So her father dies.
I'm 27.
She's 27.
Sitting at the bar.
At the bar catch, and she says to me, I'm so young and you're so old.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. And you said, why does my father have to die? And yours didn't. I said, well, he will soon.
I didn't say it like that.
You did. I'm so young and you're so old. How come my father's dead?
I was probably.
She said that to me.
I was in mourning probably.
Okay, fine. Well,
I'm sorry.
I yelled at you on the radio.
I'm sorry.
I had my
period
that day.
I'm sorry.
All right. You're welcome.
I'm forgiven or welcome?
You're forgiven. I forgave you that day.
I remember because I couldn't believe. Because I was at the point where I was like, wait, all of my friends have their parents. You know, I mean, 27 is young, but it's not like, you know, 13.
No, it's still young to lose a parent.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it was like that. And
you liked your father.
I loved
Did you
my
like
father.
Him better than you liked your mother? Truth.
You know, I can't, probably, but I can't, father, but I can't, don't remember so much. I didn't really get to, I wasn't fully developed.
Yeah.
And I realized all these things I would love. And all my cousins are going through pictures and they always send me these photos. And in every family photo, I'm sitting with my father. I'm next to my father. Yeah. And I just realized, I think I blocked a lot.
Was he taller than you?
He was 6'2". And then I don't know. I think I was a little taller than him.
I give advice to people who are listening that who are younger. Always ask your parents questions. Because after they're dead, you want to ask the questions. Nobody there
to
answer.
Yeah, I did that with my mother in the nursing
home.
Yeah,
there's a lot of questions to ask.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're on the radio.
Yeah.
I am mad that my father's dead.
Yeah. yeah.
I have one that you said to me after I had
what?
Ben.
What did I say?
You don't remember, everyone was saying this because, you know, Henry's adopted. My ex Sharon had Henry.
Right.
I adopted him.
Right.
I had Ben.
Right.
And we came over some, you know.
To my house.
Yes.
Oh, you were fighting with Sharon.
What?
Yeah,
so
constantly.
Constant.
Oh,
it was
my
awful.
God. They came to my house. They did not stop fighting
I couldn't
with each
take
other.
It.
I told you to stop it.
Yeah. You said get, yeah. You
what
have
did
to
I say?
Stop. Said this. You said you have to stop fighting. But so anyway, we break up.
What else did I say? It sounds like I said something worse.
Yeah, you were. This is not unacceptable.
This is unacceptable in my house.
And so. And then after Ben
remember
was
when Rosie O'Donnell came to my house for dinner and you were there with Mario and Susie.
Mm-hmm.
She brought her own beer.
Oh remember? Yeah,
yeah.
So I. I remember after Ben, I brought Ben over and you said, all right, which one do you love better? Love more. And I said, I love them exactly the same. And you're like, come on, Judy. I said, no, I do. And you said, all right, they're both drowning. Who do you save?
Oh, my God. Sophie's choice.
And I said, well, Henry knows how to swim. So
that's how you got out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you love them both.
I do.
You do.
Oh, I love
They're
both
They're lovely
of them.
Children.
Oh, thank you,
they
Joy.
Are.
That means a lot.
Very nice.
I'm going to cry. So you do
did a good job. You had a really had, you know, it's not easy to be
right. I had
a single parent and to be a comedian at the same time.
And
they're not crazy like you. They have like a sanity about them, which is unbelievable.
Henry's a little, no, they're, yeah, no, well, they're good. You did a benefit. You did a benefit and Barbara Walters was there? Is that what happened?
Well, you know, in those days, you had to be seen.
Right.
And you hope that somebody...
No videotaping.
So I would never... Alan Alder once told me that one of the mistakes I made, not Jewish...
But his wife is and his kids are. Okay. Go ahead.
Boy, you're really stretching now. how about people who just think they're Jewish?
Yeah, right.
So he said to me... I told him that I never would like I'd have a set coming up and I'd never invite important people to come because I never thought it would be good enough. And that was a huge mistake I made because I would always kill those nights. And then afterward, I'd say, what a fool I am.
Right.
I should have had, you know, the Bernstein here that night and what have you. Right. So, what would happen is instead I'd be asked to do benefits. So then I didn't have to worry because important people would just be there anyway without me calling them. You get it? So this was one of those evenings, and it was at the Waldorf Astoria, and it was Milton Berle's 89th birthday, right? And Barbara Walters was in the audience, Regis Philbin, and other luminaries. It was like the TCM crowd, like, what's her name? Not Esther Williams. Some other people like that.
Right.
Rhonda Fleming. I don't know.
Yes.
And they were all in the audience. And I got up and I did a set and I did this joke about how women, men will always find a wife, no matter how hideous they are, no matter how old, no matter how stupid. Take the case of Salman Rushdie. Now, he's not stupid and he wasn't hideous, but he was in hiding for several 10 years. And he got married 3 times while he was in hiding. It's like, who came to the door? The Avon lady? I mean, who did he marry? Et cetera. And this whole bit around that idea. I get off the stage. Everybody's laughing. I said to Steve, you know, how did I do? He says, everybody was laughing except Barbara Walters.
No way.
Right. So I said to him, who cares? I'm not going to work for Barbara Walters. The moral of the story is you never know.
But that's where she saw you and hired you.
She said to Regis Philbin, who was that woman? And Regis said, that's Joy Behar. Don't you know her? He knew me. I never heard of her. Well, she was busy, you know, entertaining Henry Kissinger. What does she know from me?
Right.
It's amazing how many people
See,
are Jewish.
That's why They're I
like
do
a,
it.
It's like a very small percentage in the world. And 0.02%. Yet in this room, it's 90%.
Isn't it? It's amazing. That's why I do it.
I hope your audience appreciates
they
this.
They do. They bring bells to my show.
Do they?
Yes.
How irritating. So, oh my God. You're worried about them looking at their phones and you don't mind them ringing bells in the middle of your show?
Ring them bells.
Oh, God. So where was I? Oh, yeah. So then Bill Getty was looking for, people to be on the show. Somebody called, recommended me. She said, oh, I like her. They tested me and I got the job.
It's amazing.
That's what happened. And here, 22 years later,
and let me tell
I'm still
you,
on the
many
show.
Many times I did stand up on The View when I was allowed to go
on. Comedy Central Corner.
And, everyone was laughing, and she would stone face.
She doesn't laugh, but she...
And then would say to me, very funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And then would ask me about your kids and your... And I was like, oh, she was... Yeah.
Interested.
Yeah.
Well, she's like the people who... Like, one time I auditioned for Saturday Night Live in 1975.
What?
You never heard this story? Didn't you see my solo show?
Yes!
Okay. You want to hear something about that funny solo show I did? I did it down at the Cherry Lane Theater, yes. Right? People were howling and laughing, et cetera. On opening night, I invited a lot of people I knew. Famous people were, some of them. That was the night I did. And fine, it's over. So like 6 months later, I do the same show at Guildhall in East Hampton. Many of the people who were there opening night were there that night. After the show, they had a big party for me at Alan Grubman's house. And there was a guy there who was a Supreme Court justice. I think it was Kennedy. He was there. Or one of those. Breyer. Justice Breyer was there, laughing, hysterical. And they said to me, this is a whole new show, isn't it? It was not a whole new show. It was the same show. And I've come to the conclusion that when people are laughing that much, they do not remember anything.
But they also miss a lot.
They miss everything. They thought it was another show.
That's great.
All those years I was saying, I can't repeat this material. What a fool I was. I could have done the same fucking act every night. They would have thought it was a different act.
But you can't do it on television now.
No. No, not on TV.
Yeah. So anyway, 75, you auditioned for SNL.
Oh, SNL, right.
I think I remember the story, yeah.
Well, I don't want to go into a whole long story.
Right, but just tell me.
My friend Jane and I would write comedy material together. And we came up with a character called Sadie Catalano, who would give news in the neighborhood. So she would say, like, only a hail of bullets marred the festivities as wedding bells rang. former bodyguard Carmine Russo has become a faith healer. There isn't a cripple left in the neighborhood since he's been pronouncing his miraculous words, walk or I'll break both your legs. Okay, so we had bits like that. So I said to her one day, now we're both like teacher housewives and we're in Forest Hills. And I say to her, why don't we call up Saturday Night Live and see if we can get this bit on that show? It was the first year. She says, okay, like we're two idiots, like Laverne and Shirley. I pick up the phone. I call NBC, which you can easily get through the board there. And I say, can I speak to John Head? Because I saw that his name, the talent coordinator, his name was John Head, which is a double whammy.
Right.
I said, can I speak to John Head? They go, yes. They put me through to John Head.
Unbelievable.
He picks up the phone. I say, hello, Mr. Head. My name's Joy Behar. And I said, let me do the bit for you. He said, well, let me hear it. I say, okay, I do the bit. It's very funny. Would you come in? I'd like to talk to you. And I got so close to being on Saturday Night Live because of that phone call, but I never made it. Every week I'd be on the board, right? The first week,
right,
they said,
you.
Well, Madeline Kahn is hosting, and she needs to be, we don't have any room for you. She wants to be the funny one anyway. Fine. They had Gilda Radner. They didn't need me. Second week, Raquel Welch is hosting, and she has to be the pretty one and the funny one. I said, well, who's posting next week? Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is going to be the funny one and the pretty one? I never got on the fucking show because of all these other divas who preceded me.
Well, of course. People don't want to be upstage.
And then Gilda Radner wanted to buy the material, which I said no.
Oh, do you wish you had?
No, I used that material.
Oh, you did. Okay.
So I kept doing it. And after that, I just kept getting going along.
It's amazing.
But that was in 75. Remember, I didn't get fired from GMA till 1981.
Wow.
I was not even a comic until 1981.
It's amazing that it was always there, that you always knew it
was
there.
Well, from when I was a child, yeah.
You start The View in 97.
This is the longest interview
but
I've ever done.
But isn't it fun?
I feel like I'm going into a second menopause here.
Please, are you having a bad time?
No, it's exhausting.
Okay, sorry. We'll end soon. So you start The View in 1997. I remember watching it because I was working at Rosie and we were all watching it on the... Yeah. And it was like no other show before.
In what way?
In that, first of all, female heavy.
Yeah. Barbara.
Right.
That was the key.
And... It was successful women with opinions.
Well, we all were educated and successful in our careers, all of us already. Star Jones was a lawyer. She told you every day. Meredith Vieira had already been
Love
on
her.
60 Minutes.
Right.
Barbara was Barbara. And Debbie Matenopoulos was, they called the young one, and she was coming up in her career. And there was me, who had been a teacher. So we all were, you know... And I was highly opinionated, and so was Star, and so was Debbie. But Meredith was not, because she was trained to be more of a journalist.
So,
and Barbara never gave her opinion.
Did you know it was going to be the hit?
No, because Barbara had to go station to station to keep it on the air.
For how long?
Oh, I don't know.
Years?
Long time. Because they didn't pick it up right away all over the place. And we didn't know that because it was a network show. It was like, what do you mean they're not doing it every single place?
Oh, so it was, but it was syndicated. Yeah. So.
It wasn't syndicated.
Oh,
it was, no, it was network.
It was a network show. Wouldn't they have to put it on those?
That's what we thought, but that's not so.
Wow.
Yeah, so she went around and she kept it on the air for a while. Without her, I don't think it would have stayed on the air.
Star Jones and you, very friendly.
Star Jones and I were, the thing about Star, she had her issues, but she knew how to have a good time, that girl.
Really?
She did. She could have fun.
And
she's changed her life.
Yeah. She called you a bitch on the show.
She did?
Yeah.
Well, they all call me a bitch. I don't mind.
Because she called.
I don't care.
She called up once.
Oh,
she was having,
I said, oh, yeah.
I said, all right, enough.
She called in because she had some kind of procedure.
Right.
And on and on and on the phone. And I said, all right, enough about you. Back to us. She says, okay, you bitch.
And if you look at it in the, you know, if you read about it, it's like, Star Jones called it.
Well, Meghan McCain called me a bitch recently, and I didn't care about that either because we have, the word is, we own that word.
Right.
We own the word, yeah.
We own the
and
word.
And I don't care. I don't mind.
You have gone through many co-hosts, and you're the one who has lasted the longest.
Well, I was fired a few years ago.
Right. But they didn't say you were fired, of course.
Well, no. At the time, I thought, why burn a bridge? Why burn a bridge?
I always think that.
You know, I thought, I'll just go out gracefully because I was happy that they let me go. I was happy.
Do you know why they let you go?
I don't know the real reason. I have suspicions, but I don't know the real reason.
Because you had another show. You had an HLN show.
I had another show.
Which was
my favorite. I know everybody loved that show.
That was the best show ever. I was so happy.
I know.
Every time I got on. And you let me co-host. You let me host for you once.
To this day, I regret that I could not keep that show on the air. We were the second highest rated show on the network.
It was.
And they took us off. I think that was a political thing, maybe, because they didn't like how I talked about Republicans. But anyway, that's water under the bridge. This show, I don't know why I was fired. But I've been through many guests hosts here, yeah. But to just the point of, why did I not say I was fired at the time? Well, you know, I had a nice send-off.
I think that was the greatest thing.
I had Alan Alda, you know, Regis amazing? Philbin, Joan Rivers came to my send-off. You know, so we had like a wonderful goodbye. Tony Bennett sang. Well, you know, why should I be bitter and angry? I wanted to get off the show at that time anyway.
So they... And I know, because I remember you're like, I want to write.
I had other things to do. And I had 2 years off where I came up with a solo show.
I know, great.
And I did other things that I liked.
When they asked you back.
Yeah.
Was there any bit of like, oh, fuck you.
No. The woman who asked me back, it was a whole new administration.
Yeah, the new woman. Yeah.
Hillary McLaughlin.
Yeah.
Hillary S.G. McLaughlin.
Yes.
She called me up. I was walking around Provincetown looking for a transgender show. Seriously. Or not transgender, what do you call it, a drag show.
Right.
Because I like those. They're fun.
Why didn't you come see me?
Well,
I don't think I was in town.
You weren't there.
Yeah.
I would have gone to see you, of course. But I was looking for a drag show because I think they're funny and fun. And I couldn't find it. All I saw were tourists in polyester pantsuits there. What happened
What
happened to Provincetown?
This is what happened. We wanted equality. And now everyone is coming. It's like you have Wellfleet. You have Hyannis. You have Sandwich. Truro.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck. And now... So there's a pier there where they had a naval ship in World War II because there's one area that's so deep and they now have cruise ships come for the day.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Oh, my God.
It's
horrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
That's what happened. That it changed.
Right.
And anyway, I was walking along the street and I get a call on my cell phone from Hillary asking me if I would like to come back to The View just on Friday because now the show is going to be live on Friday. Whoopi did not want to work on Friday. I would moderate. I said, okay, just for Friday. And then slowly...
Joy, you know. You're so much of, you're,
Well, I am like the person who's been there the most recognizable besides Whoopi, so they know me.
When they imitated you, which I think.
So what? Who cares?
No, when they imitated you on SNL, I was felling because, you know, that you've arrived.
You've arrived.
When they
make fun of you.
on SNL. It's like you are the zeitgeist.
I guess. I never took it like that, but
I thought it was. I remember you're like, no, she didn't do this right and she didn't do that. But I was like, oh my, I was so happy for you. This fucking idiot in the White House.
Yeah.
There he wants them off the air.
Oh, please.
I love our new sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. It is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers, of which I am one of them. They have everything you want, really, seriously, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. And I know you're thinking, Judy, you live in an apartment in New York City. What's with the fast-growing trees? Well, let me tell you something. You don't need to have a yard or a lot of space. You can grow lemon, avocado, olive, or fig trees inside your home. And guess what I have? A fig tree in my office, and I fucking love it. I love it. Hi, Avi. His name is Avi. And I love him. And he brightens up. It makes me so happy. And I talk to him. Okay, I know I'm going overboard. But having plant life in your house is so comforting. And I love fast-growing trees. Thank you for this beautiful fig tree. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They offer free plant consultation forever. Okay. And I just got a new pot for Avi. So I'm going to be calling them and asking them the correct way to put it in there. You will find the perfect thing for your climate, for your space, for your aesthetic needs. It's great. I love it. I have a plant and it's so, I'm telling you, it has made me much happier. And you know how happy I am. Anyway, this spring, which is, you know, it is the growing season. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout, JUDYGOLD. at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code Judy Gold at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code Judy Gold. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome.
What was the most, in your opinion, dramatic joy experience, you know, event on The View? I mean, you've gotten up and left.
That was it. I would say walking off the stage of when Bill O'Reilly was here I physically protested his presence. You can't really beat that for drama.
And did you get, and you got?
Well, Barbara, and then Whoopi followed me out. Yeah. And, but he was just saying that all Muslims are terrorists. And I couldn't argue. I tried to argue. No, he kept insisting. I couldn't sit there. I was like, I don't want to sit here with him. It's skeevy to me.
Right.
So I got up, and Whoopi followed me off. And Barbara didn't like that. She felt we should have sat there. But then the publicity came in, and then she liked it.
It's amazing how any kind of publicity.
Well, that was a big moment. They still, I mean, look at how great it is. He's not there anymore.
I know, isn't that
one
amazing?
Of the worst fascists in television? He's gone. Same, Roger Ailes dead. I mean, things do change.
Do you think these awful people? There's plenty of awful people in our that are running this country.
Right.
Are going to have their day?
No, I don't. I mean, I know too much about World War II and Hitler to think that there's anything such as karma. There is no such thing. Did you ever see the movie Downfall with Bruno Ganz playing Hitler? Mm-mm. It's about Hitler's last weeks in the bunker. He's down there and, you know, he kills himself and it's painless for him. First, he gives the cyanide to the dog that he supposedly loves, makes sure that it works. And then he and Eva Braun take the cyanide and shoot each other. And that's the end of it. He never suffered a day. There's no karma.
What's the name of the movie?
Downfall.
I'm going to watch that.
It's in German. I'm warning you, but it's very well worth it.
That's my favorite language.
So I know a lot about bad people because I watch a lot of television about that period. And they do not necessarily suffer. They never found half these Nazis they die at 97 and then they find them. They've been living in South America, you know, enjoying paella down there. Get the fuck out of here. There's no such thing as karma.
I have to say, you have been, and Joan Rivers was like this, but you are one of the very pro LGBT.
I am.
I'm
a feminist.
And you're the true, no, but you are the true, you are a feminist. I mean, I feel like they're taking the word and making it like a feminist is someone who, you know, can get on stage and talk about, you know, blow jobs and this.
Yeah, that's what they think a feminist is.
Right. And a feminist is not that at all, but.
What is it exactly, do you
think? If you believe in equality for everyone.
Yes,
everyone.
That's right.
That this is enough. That I don't have to put on makeup for you.
Right.
I am good enough as I am.
That's right.
That everyone's a human being.
I agree. I think
equal.
That's true.
So.
Makes you a humanist.
Yes. You have been so, I just have to say, for the community, there's so many gay guys that come up to me. I love Joy. You have been such a voice for equality, and I just want to say I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think that the gay community has had a rough time from when I was a kid. And, you know, there were gay men who were married to women in my neighborhood, and I saw that they suffered.
It's horrible.
You know, it's
and
terrible.
And lesbians.
Thing. And lesbians also.
I think that's affected my career.
You're a lesbian?
Yeah.
Not anymore, though.
Now right, but I came out in 96.
It might have hurt you, but I think it's chic now more, isn't it?
Right, but it's chic for the young lesbians. Now I'm an old, don't you think?
Well, timing is everything in life, Judy,
yes.
Unfortunately.
It's very hard.
What are your regrets?
My regrets?
Yeah.
I regret ever listening to anyone tell me to straighten my hair, dye it blonde, not talk about being Jewish on stage.
You got bad advice.
Yeah. I regret wasting time being anxious and hating myself and thinking and giving power to other people who said something about me.
Right.
You know, you're this. And for me to waste time
on that. I agree with that. Yeah. But good for you.
I really, if I could have the time back from
You know, as you get older, this is so sentimental now, but when you get older, you realize that this cliche that life is short, it really is. It's over before you can turn around.
I know.
So you have to really enjoy it the most you can.
I know, but I just want one big break, Joy. One.
Well, you know, the thing about you, Judy, is that you can get the one big break, but you have an interesting career because you still love it.
I know.
You could get that one big break and then start to hate it.
No, I just want the money. I just don't want have to worry about money.
I understand that, but that's part of the journey.
Yeah. And it's been a long journey, Joy.
I know that. But I sort of envy you that you still love it.
Really?
Yeah, the stand-up, because I don't anymore. I might get back to it, though. There's a possibility.
Like, I'll do a show with you.
If I wasn't... Now, the only thing... You know what interested me? This little room at the...
I knew. I could see your... I could see it. But there's a bunch of rooms like that.
I don't mind doing small little rooms and having fun with that. Yeah. Just getting up and... But I'm so, like, obsessed with Trump right now and my job.
Do you feel like...
I can't do anything but that. It's not funny to me.
Right. So many people
say,
oh, isn't he good for your material?
No.
I guarantee you every comedian who's not right wing would give up talking about him.
You know who was funny? George Bush. W. Bush. George W. Bush, there was material. No, but there was material about him.
Right.
This guy is so dangerous and so tricky for all of us, so lethal in what he's doing to this country, that I can't find it in myself to laugh half the time.
I'm scared.
Right.
But also, this is the only time where someone who is pro-Trump, if you say one thing, they'll either leave or they won't laugh at anything else you say. But it was never like that. Every president was fair game.
Yeah. What do you mean? Like in your act, if you say something against Trump, they walk out.
Like, yeah, and I'm like, you
and
know
they
what?
Walk out?
So I tell them, I said, you know what? Because I did something about Sarah Huckabee Fuckface and something about Trump. And this guy's like, say something. And they were laughing. And he's like, say something funny. I go, actually, I just did. Which is why everyone's laughing. And if you don't like it, you can get up and leave. Enjoy your cult. And he stayed. But it's a cult.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we leave.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to. I have two more questions. FYI, Joy is an author. She has written 5 books, The Great Gas Bag, an A to Z Study Guide to Surviving Trump,
which is
world,
still available
which
on
is still
Amazon.
Available. Shih Tzu Cockapoo-poo 2 and Shih Tzu Cockapoo-poo, which one is My Kind of Dog, the original one. Shih Tzu Cockapoo-poo is My Kind of Dog. And Shih Tzu Cockapoo-poo 2, Max Goes to the Dogs. These are children's books.
Yes.
Joy Shtick. Or What is the Existential Vacuum and Does It Come with Attachments, 1999. And When You Need a Lift but Don't Want to Eat Chocolate, Pay a Shrink or Drink a Bottle of Gin, 2007. So these are all books you can get that are fucking great that Joy has
written.
Some
of them are better than others.
Okay, whatever. So I first of all, I can't thank you enough.
You're welcome.
I love you.
Anytime, Judy.
You're the best. This is what we ask, but I think we know the answer. We always ask, we're very pro-mental health because I've gone through clinical depression and... Yeah. So have you ever been on antidepressants?
No.
Really?
No, never.
Just shrinkage.
Shrink. Talking cure.
Oh, and by the way,
yeah.
I take trazodone because of you.
Well, trazodone I was taking when I was having hot flashes and I couldn't sleep. But I still can't sleep, but I don't take anything. I just don't sleep.
Let me tell you, the CBD oil with the melatonin.
Yeah, that works.
Out.
Where do you get it?
You can get it online. It's CBD oil, so it's like the...
Is that marijuana?
But not without THC.
Is it safe?
Yeah, it's all organic and all melatonin. Right.
Melatonin doesn't really work.
But I'm addicted to fucking trazodone because of you.
Okay.
And then this is, you know, it's called Kill Me Now because I'm always saying Kill Me Now because I fucking can't stand it.
Right.
What pisses you off more than anything? Like what thing about people or anything makes you fucking crazy? It could be...
I think stupidity.
Yeah.
I can't stand stupid.
I can't.
I hate stupid. I ran into a guy, King Cullen, twice now. The guy comes over to me. Why do you not like Trump? And I give him 3 reasons. And he says, well, Hillary lied. And I say, it's too stupid. I can't. I can't talk to you anymore now. And I walk away from him.
What are the 3 reasons?
That why I hate Trump?
Because I need...
He's destroying the environment. He divides races. And he's a pathological liar. And he's making money on the presidency.
Yes.
If I had to say 4 things, those are the 4.
He is the most divisive.
And when you say he's a liar, they go, well, everybody, all presidents lie. Not like this. Not every day. Not every minute. And not about important things. Right. Come on.
Are you scared about what's
you
happening?
Know, I feel a little more hopeful lately because I was saying on the air today that the white, blue-collar women who are non-college educated, who are mostly my cousins, you know, they are now turning on him a
little. Good.
Yes. His favorability went down 15% among those women. That's very important because he's such a sexist. He grabs women by the pussy and people still like him.
And he's such a hypocrite.
Oh, I can't stand him. I know him very well. You know, I went to his wedding to Marla.
You did?
I was at his wedding. Yeah, Rosie O'Donnell was there.
Yes.
Can you imagine? The two women who hate him the most were at his wedding.
I feel bad for Rosie.
Why?
Because I just feel bad. She's watching a debate and you know, just sitting at home watching a presidential debate. And he says, you know, Megyn Kelly says, you call women this. And he says.
No, just, yeah.
I mean, for her kids to hear that.
From the next president.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. It's
horrible. I love you.
But you know what? As FDR once famously said, I dated him. He said, I welcome the hate. I welcome the hate because he was getting a lot of shit for what he was the first socialist president. You realize that. And, you know, if you want to call it that, if you want to call Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, unemployment insurance, socialist programs, which we all have, then he was the one who did
it. And so many of these Republicans' parents were on the GI Bill. You know,
right.
They would have nothing.
They've been trying. The Republican Party has been trying to undo FDR's and the Great Society since LBJ. They have been trying to undo it. They don't like it. They don't want it. Mm-hmm. They want everybody out there on their own, and it's not healthy. Some people
disgusting.
Can't do it.
Right.
Some people can't make it.
And unless it's them, it's like when Dick Cheney's daughter came out as a lesbian, all of a sudden he's pro-gay marriage.
Nancy Reagan became pro stem cell research after Ronnie get Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's got to be personal with them. Yeah. Then they're happy.
Well, you make me happy, Joy.
And you make me happy. And you make Elise happy.
Elisa.
Oh, who? You know, it's like.
I know, it's annoying. I can't.
Oi, Elisa, Elise, Kirsten. How am I going to remember this?
I know. It's all right. It's all right.
Lori, Laura.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, stick to the one thing.
Josephine, Joy.
No, and the Kirsten and Kristen. It's like, how am I supposed to know the difference?
Brianna, I can't. Is that Brittany and Anna? I can't. All
right. How about that? There's Jason and Joshua is another group.
Oh.
And Jeremy.
And Jesse. It could be a girl or a boy. Or there's.
I think that the Duggars had all J's. Didn't they all?
Yes, they did. All of them J's for Jesus.
Well, after. Was it for Jesus?
Yes,
oh, yeah,
for
that's
Jesus.
Right. That's right. That's what it was for. She should have named the last one Jesus Christ. How many more am I going to have?
You know some of those are gay. Some of those kids.
If Jesus ever came back, he would be shocked at what the evangelicals are doing in this country and so-called Christians like Jerry Falwell Jr. He would that man would have a heart attack.
I agree.
Thank you so much for listening to my interview with Joy Behar. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel. It is edited by Colin Schmeling, and nothing in my life would be possible without the help and assistance of the amazing Brittany Jo Sowards Richmond. So please follow me on the socials at Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, even though the poster for my show is deemed inappropriate for face cock. But you can, you know, you can spread conspiracy theories and write, you know, racist, anti-Semitic, anti-LGBTQ, like homophobic and, you know, anti-Asian shit all over Facebook. But you can't show someone with a ball gag in their mouth because that's offensive. So that's that. What else? So follow me on all those. I couldn't switch to the other platforms because I just can't deal with it. I can't understand it. I know I hate Twitter and I hate Elon Musk, but you know, there's people I love, like Rachel Vindman. I love her. I like there's people who I just, Molly Young Fast, like that I just love. and I need to follow, so whatever. Please come see my show, 59E59. Theater A on 59 East 59th Street. You're going to fucking love it. I don't know what else I have coming up. This is what I'll be doing until April 16th. And that's it. I would like to say, for the people who are listening to the end, I am making a decision about the podcast, but I think I'm going to keep doing it. I might be focusing more on other things, but I love you. I love all my listeners, and especially the ones who listen to the end. And people keep coming up to me and saying, I love your podcast. And then I'm like, oh, I can't. So I want to just say thank you to everyone who listens to the end. You know, I'm thinking about you. Well, the four people who do it. And I don't know what else to tell you. I just really appreciate it. Buy my book. It's more important than ever now. Yes, I can say that. And then review it. And review the podcast. Please review the podcast, because I need 5 stars. And that way I can get, you know, some advertisers and keep doing this so that, you know, I don't keep paying out of my fucking pocket for you people. Labor of love. So please review it and leave me a great review. That would be fantastic. And I don't know what else to tell you, but, you know, thank God it's staying light a little later, because I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. All right, that's it. Thank you all so much for listening. And as we always say, so long.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.